Hello, I'm Farah, a registered clinical nutritionist, and I'm hosting Fertility Matters for Screen Me. Following my own 9-year infertility journey, I'm determined to help others with everything I know now and to share knowledge with women, men, and LGBTQ audiences to offer the best guidance from medical, holistic, complementary, and support organizations. I'll also be encouraging individuals to talk about their journeys to help others. I really want this to be real, useful, and engaging, a platform for you to contribute to. So if you have ideas, have something to say, or know somebody that does, reach out to me at f.condor@screenme.co.uk. Let's feel connected, feel part of a change, feel part of a huge support network. We are here to hold your hand through your own personal journeys, and we hope to see you happy at the other end. Thanks for joining us. Hi, Dr. Zima, can you hear me?
Good evening, Farah. I can hear you very well.
Fantastic. So, hi, radio podcast listeners. Today I am welcoming Dr. Zima Pandey. She's the Chief Consultant Medicine, Reproductive Medicine Consultant in Infertility and IVF, and a gynecologist and obstetrician at Zima Hospital and Eva Fertility Clinic and IVF Center. My goodness. She's also got a fellowship in reproductive medicine, and she's very, very kindly joined us today to speak about IVF, ICSI, and IUI, something that's all sometimes all too confusing for people, and several questions with regard to that. So, welcome, Dr. Zima, and thank you so much for offering your time and knowledge to us and the people who are really interested in this subject. Having said of all the qualifications you've got, it seems like you really, really know what you're doing and what you're talking about.
Thank you once again, Farah. And at the outset, I would like to wish a very, very happy and happening new year to all our listeners. And yes, as you rightly said, that IUI, ICSI, and IVF, these terms are really confusing for general people. And through your chat show, we would like to clear those confusions
Yeah.
and try to make them understand what these are.
So literally what we're going to do, listeners, is that we're going to try and get a really good explanation of what this actually means from somebody who is a chief consultant and reproductive medicine expert, not somebody who's written a blog about it, not somebody who's, writing about their own personal experience, somebody who's got the knowledge and actually has been working with hundreds of women in this position and has helped them to achieve their dreams. So, Dr. Seema, I'm going to start by asking you a really simple question. What is the difference in the all too confusing IVF, ICSI, and IUI? What does each thing mean briefly?
So, Farah, I'll start from IUI, then I'll go to IVF, and then ICSI. This is the sequence.
Great.
And all three are part of assisted reproductive technique. That means couples who are not able to conceive on their own through their intercourse, there we are trying to help them through these procedures. First, we'll talk about IUI. The full form is intrauterine insemination, where we just take the husband's or partner's semen, we wash it in a media, and through a special catheter, we put the semen inside the uterine cavity or womb of the female. That is called intrauterine insemination, with the aim that maximum number of gametes they'll meet together, so chances of conception will increase.
Right.
That is IUI. Yeah.
Right.
If that doesn't work, it doesn't work for each and every couple. So came IVF or in vitro fertilization. Here, like IUI, fertilization is taking place inside the female's body in her own fallopian tube. In IVF, we are doing it outside the body. Anything which is done outside the body, it is in vitro. In vivo is inside. So, in vitro fertilization means, suppose somebody's fallopian tubes are blocked, a sperm and egg, they are not able to meet together. There, we give certain injections to the female. We try to make 5, 8, 10 eggs in her ovary, and then we take it out through a special procedure called ovum picker, and then we fertilize it inside the lab. That is called IVF.
Right.
Yeah. In IVF, limitation is that you take out the egg, keep it in a petri dish, and then you pour the semen from outside. But the sperm number should be more than 5 million per ml for one egg.
Right.
That is the requisite. So many female, many couples, their partner's semen is not having that many sperms. For those came ICSI in 1992, which has really been proving like a boon to those couples where husband's semen is not having those many sperms. Now, parenthood is possible even if you are having 1, 2, 3, or 4 sperms. So ICSI full form is intracytoplasmic sperm injection.
Wow. Where,
yes, we take one egg, one sperm. Only one sperm is required to fertilize one egg, and that sperm we inject through a machine inside the egg to make it fertilize artificially or outside the body. So that is the latest thing.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. We don't sort of hear much about ICSI generally. I think most people talk about IVF quite a lot and IUI as standard processes, but that just sounds incredible. You know, obviously there's a big difference, and you've explained how each of those processes works, but say you're having issues to conceive, Dr. Seema, and actually you don't know what they are. So, you know, you've tried sexual intercourse, you've tried, you know, all sorts of ways of having sexual intercourse, and you've been trying for a year and a half, 2 years, and you just don't know what's going on, but you're not getting pregnant. So, you know, obviously from my perspective and the way I work as a clinical nutritionist, I would say, okay, what are the missing nutrients? What are you eating? What aren't you eating? How do we support that in order to improve the egg quality, in order to improve the sperm quality? Do we need to do blood testing? Do we need to do vaginal microbiome testing just to check whether the actual microbiome is inviting or is maybe rejecting the sperm that you're receiving through sexual intercourse? But essentially, if you've gone through all that system, then, I mean, how do you decide? How do you just say, you know, if somebody's listening and they're going, well, I don't really know what my next steps should be, I don't know what to do, how should you be thinking about deciding who, do I need IVF? Do I not need IVF? Will it work for me? Do I need to try something else first? What are your thoughts on that?
So basically, do you want to know who, how to, how does someone know that what kind of treatment that particular couple needs?
Yeah, I mean, at which point do you make the decision? Do you do tests first?
Yes,
do
yes.
you do nutrition first? Do you try something natural first? At which point do you say, you know, I don't know what to do next? Or do you go early into IVF and then support it with natural protocols like eating the right things and improving your chances? Because we know that there's around a 60% increase in IVF success just from doing a vaginal microbiome test. That's in scientific proven. So I'm trying to assess from you, for the people that are listening,
that
who
is
are a little bit confused, where
yeah.
do I get the clarity from and how do I know?
Exactly. So there are few certain clear-cut indications where you need to go for in vitro fertilization or IVF and ICSI. Whenever I'm talking about IVF, I mean IVF as well as ICSI.
Yeah.
So interesting fact about IVF, it was developed for the couples who had blocked fallopian tubes.
Right.
If your fallopian tubes are blocked, you have tried to get them open, but you were not successful. That is primary indication, nothing will work. Let me tell you, lifestyle, right kind of eating, right kind of microbiome, these all factors are very, very important, even if we are going to do in vitro fertilization or assisted reproductive technique.
Right.
But sometimes those factors only cannot make you pregnant. For example, if you're having your tubes blocked,
yes,
then nothing
I mean,
can
it's
help.
impossible.
Yes. Suppose a lady who's got premature menopause, she does not have eggs. For her, hope of parenthood comes after adoption only through oocyte or egg donation with in vitro fertilization.
Right.
So that is one indication where nothing else will work. Third, someone is suffering from some kind of familial or genetic disease, which is just going through one generation to another generation. It's kind of disease that every time you are trying to conceive, you are having an abnormal baby. There, in vitro fertilization is a big ray of hope through PGT plus IVF, which is kind of genetic testing along with in vitro fertilization. We can have pregnancy.
So when you're talking about unviable pregnancies, you're talking about things like trisomy 13 or trisomy 14.
Exactly.
And that's
very,
through genetic
very
problems.
Smart of you. Yes. Kind
right.
of trisomy 21, 13, 18. There are multiple diseases like hemophilia, thalassemias, major, and all these
sure.
kind of 1,000 diseases, all particularly
genetic.
All those X-linked and Y-linked dominant disorders and autosomal dominant disorders of other chromosomes as well. There are multiple ways to check it beforehand, and we can go for a healthy embryo to transfer and get a pregnancy.
Right.
On contrary, there are couples who, especially females, who are suffering from diseases like, say, polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis, adenomyosis. All these females, if they have tried, as you rightly said, time intercourse with kind of change in their lifestyle. Lifestyle factors are responsible for 80% of our problems. So in spite of doing everything, taking all kind of oral medications, time intercourse, intrauterine insemination, if they were not able to conceive, third line of treatment for these diseases is in vitro fertilization.
So, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were saying something.
No, I was just saying, because obviously a lot of people will think that going for in vitro fertilization or, you know, IUI or ICI or something like that means that they're going to get the result they want without making very many changes to their lifestyle or to their nutrition or to their, you know, what they do. Their exercise routine, for example, can be very impacting badly because of the release of cortisol, and therefore, you know, messing with things like hormone balance, when in actual fact you need a stabilized, balanced hormone profile in order to go forward, I'm assuming, to do an IVF cycle.
So I cannot, you can, like, I cannot even contradict this. Even if we are going to do in vitro fertilization for these couples, let me tell you, if they are not stabilizing their lifestyle, if they are not eating right, not exercising, not, they are just becoming couch potato, or they are just into a kind of lifestyle where there's no discipline, the whole milieu of your body gets disrupted, and
right.
that does not give us success. Because it's not something that you just, because you underwent an in vitro fertilization cycle or IUI cycle, you will conceive. No, when all the other factors are properly taken care of, along with that, if we go with these treatments, if we are doing intrauterine insemination, per cycle fecundity or conception rate is somewhere around 5 to 8%.
Right.
We are talking about females ever age 30. That is the natural scene. See, looking at the couples, partners, people, they are getting married late. They are deciding to have children late. So we are looking at couples where female is almost around 30 or 30 plus. And there, if they have not taken care of other variables, and they are directly landing into any kind of treatment, be it intrauterine insemination or in vitro fertilization, that might fail. So we had to optimize everything before going into these kind of therapies. Even in vitro fertilization with optimal condition, the success rate is somewhere around 45 to 50%. So there is no guarantee. So we have to take care of all those factors which are in our hand and easier to follow and do, because these treatments are really, really expensive. So yes, before going into it, you have to be really, really sincere about other factors which are in your own control.
Yes, I understand. So are you saying then, Dr. Seema, that age matters when you're thinking about IVF, as in it's better to do it earlier rather than later anyway? Or, you know, because as you say, women, older women are wanting to wait until their career is established and, you know, they want to get pregnant later and stuff. And so they turn to IVF as opposed to natural conception because it's already, you know, the body is producing less eggs and whatever else is going on, and your hormones are different and starting to change. So age, is it a concern? Should we as women be thinking, well, actually.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
You know, past a certain time, the success rate is going to be very minimal. So do we need to consider saying, well, you know, we need to do IVF, but we need to do it before a certain time?
Oh, Farah, yes, age matters. Age. Age is the only factor which matters the most if it comes to our reproductive potential, especially for women. So if, and I don't know about other places in my country, people think IVF is there. That is a last resort. When I try everything, I have just exhausted all my resources, then only I'll be going for the IVF. But by doing that, you are not only reducing the chances of getting pregnant and successful with that treatment. Suppose right, you got pregnant. Look at a body which is 40 years old and carrying a baby as compared to a girl who is 30, 25, 28. Her body is more fit to carry that pregnancy.
Yeah.
She has least chances of getting pregnancy-related complications like diabetes, pregnancy-induced diabetes,
yes,
pregnancy hypertension, premature delivery, cesarean section, ICU, NICU admission of your baby. All
yeah,
these conditions and complications are far, far less if you have chosen this treatment at younger age. Not to mention that as you age, your ovarian reserve, your reproductive potential is decreasing. And there would come a point where even if you want to have your own child, your own biological genetic child, you will not be having enough eggs to go for IVF. So
yes,
if you have been diagnosed rightly and that is the treatment of choice, you should opt for it earlier than waiting for long.
Yeah, so I mean, at some point we want to talk about egg freezing and all of that sort of thing. But for today, when we're talking about IVF. So I've decided now, I've done all the lifestyle things, I've done the nutrition, I've had my vaginal microbiome test, my vaginal microbiome I'm working on, you know, the pH is right, the balance is right, I know what state type I am. So I've done all the things that are in my hands to do to help myself. I've, you know, eaten the right foods to improve my egg quality, my partner's eating the right foods to improve the sperm motility and all of that sort of thing. So we're in a good place now. How do I prepare myself for IVF? How does somebody prepare themselves for an IVF cycle? And what do the steps look like?
So for one condition, I just wanted to mention, which I just forgot while mentioning the reasons why do we go for IVF. One condition like that is very common. Sometimes a couple comes to me and he's been having so many files. And when I talk to them, I ask them, have you been visiting other people? What was the diagnosis? What did they tell you? Why are you not getting pregnant?
Right.
So the normal answer would be, common answer would be, oh, doctor says everything is fine.
Oh, yes.
That is very depressing and frustrating. In spite of having everything normal, you are not conceiving. So my next question or statement would be, if everything was right, so you should have conceived by now, even statistically, whatever your age is, these were the chances, but you didn't come in that particular pool who got pregnant. That means there is something which is not being diagnosed, or human being is not able to diagnose it through the tests.
Yes.
So that condition is called unexplained infertility. And the treatment of unexplained infertility after you have tried all those things which you have mentioned is IUI if you are young, or IVF directly for these couples. Because what you cannot diagnose, the fertilization part of, even if you are ovulating every month, but that sperm which is reaching in your tube is not able to penetrate the egg. So it's, you are not able to fertilize your eggs. That
Understood.
Could be a reason, and that you cannot see through your ultrasound or blood reports.
Sure.
So that is a very important indication. So yeah. For preparing for IVF, first and foremost thing is, I say, emotional and mental makeup. Because you are going into, it is a kind of financial, emotional, physical burden in your, on your body. And if you are not in right set of mind, if you are not convinced that I need it and I want to do it, you will not be giving your 100%. At every step, you will feel exhausted. You'll feel depressed. Why these many injections? Why am I undergoing this? Because there are so many tests. Even if we sympathize with you, but we cannot help to get the best result, we have to do all those things. So first of all, you have to be mentally prepared for that. You have to be in best of your physical health, whatever you could do. I'm not saying that, suppose you are 90 kgs and you just, you, your optimum weight is 55. I'm not asking you to just go down on that. But that 5 to 10% of your weight reduction, if you are obese or overweight, will go a long way.
Will increase your chances, right? It will increase your chances.
It will not only increase your chances, it will, like, it will increase your appearance wise, you will be better. It will also improve your oocyte quality, and as you rightly said, that it will improve your chances. And once you become pregnant, your baby will be healthier. You would be able to enjoy that 9-month journey if you are fitter and fine.
Yeah, so I mean, I work with Screen Me, who sponsors the show, as you know, Dr. Seema, and Dr. Golnosh Goshirazi, who's the CEO of Screamy, she's always talking about preconception work. And one of the most important things about, you know, if you are doing the preconception work, then studies and science and recent studies and science show that you can eradicate non-communicable diseases. So when you're talking about a child that's born with colic symptoms, that can be completely reduced by ensuring that the mother's microbiome in the gut is healthy and balanced, or,
wow,
you know, things like think, you know, diseases like psoriasis or eczema or, you know, things like that, that you can pass to your child. There's real scientific evidence now that shows that if you do the preconception work and put your body as a mother, in other words, you can't plant some roses in the wrong soil because they will never grow properly. And even if they do, they will die quickly or they won't be as beautiful or bright and big as they should be. And it's the same for the mother, I think. Prepare the terrain. So what you're saying is that care, that level of care of losing that 10% of weight or that level of care of looking at your lifestyle and doing all the right things is an actual impactful way in order to prepare your terrain to receive and implant the child, the egg, so that the ovum, fertilized egg, so that it can grow in that terrain, which is healthy and
definitely
strong for the baby.
So yeah, you just, I cannot express it in better way the way you described it, Farah. So there is an epic called Mahabharata in our mythology. That is a very important book.
Yes.
And where there is, you must have heard about Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
So this Bhagavad Gita are the verses which Lord Krishna has been giving to Arjun. And Arjun was going to battlefield. That time his wife was pregnant. And his son Abhimanyu, he was listening through in utero the way to it was a complicated part of that war where they have created a big kind of what I am not able to get an exact word what it was. We call it Chakravyuha. That was a kind of thing where Pandavas were just caught inside and they had to break it and come out of it. And only Arjuna knew how to do it. And his son, while in utero, he heard it that time. And when he became old and he went to that warfare, and there he was knowing how to enter, how to go through 7 doors, but the last door he could not open it. So meaning is that whatever we are doing, the baby inside your womb is getting affected by that. And what you told about microbiome, we called it fetal origin of adult diseases.
Wow.
Most of the non-communicable diseases like heart disease, asthma, bronchitis, many kind of autoimmune diseases,
yes,
their basis is being prepared when this baby is inside your womb and you have not taken proper care of yourself. You did not have right food, you did not do right exercises, you were overstressed, or you were working so hard, you were neglecting yourself. Everything goes back to, and it has been proven scientifically that if you are very irritable, your child is going to be an irritable
Wow,
one.
Really? My gosh.
Yes.
That's amazing. So are we saying that the child's genetics are affected by your
apart
terrain?
From genetics, there is epigenetics, the circumstances.
Yes, the epigenetics. I meant the epigenetics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in actual fact.
Yes. And yes, by improving this pre-pregnancy, we call it pre-pregnancy optimization. If you have started taking your vitamins, especially folic acid,
yes,
vitamin D, you have quit smoking, excessive tea, coffee consumption, any kind of recreational drug, and you have taken care of your lifestyle, that goes really long way, not only for you, but the baby you are going to have in your womb. So before going for any kind of fertility treatment, you should be doing all these things. Then you were asking me about the steps.
Yes.
What
I was going to say, so now it's, you know, we know that all this is really powerful stuff. We've prepared, we really are committed. You know, I've said, I want to do IVF. I'm really going to commit myself to this process. I'm ready for it. I've got the strength for it. I've prepared my body and my mind, my soul, my spirit for it. What do I do now? What are the steps?
So, choosing a right doctor is very important, who is
Oh,
not
yes.
only best in giving medicine, who has a kind ear, and patient hearing is one of
Someone
the.
like you, Dr. Seema, is perfect because I have to say that I was, I had eight miscarriages and a stillborn son. And at my time, I went to an IVF doctor to say,
I'm really sorry.
what is the case? And the IVF doctor basically said, you don't need to have IVF. You're getting pregnant. My concern wasn't getting the pregnant. So actually having someone who can tell you real truths in a kind and, understanding way in what you're trying to achieve is really important. I agree with that totally. I would have gone for IVF just because somebody said go for IVF because, and he was saying, well, you're getting pregnant. There's nothing wrong with your miscarriages in terms of trisomy 14 or trisomy 13, or that there's no genetic issue and you are getting pregnant naturally. So let's focus on other aspects rather than put you through the IVF cycle. Yeah,
Very true,
very
very true.
important.
Yes. So once you have decided to undergo IVF, after doing, there are certain blood tests, few just check your reproductive potential, according to which we decide the kind of injections and their doses, apart from your body weight and your age, which is very important when we choose the quantity of your injection. And
Right.
plus your physical fitness, your liver, your kidney, your heart, and everything
Yes.
is working well. Then
Yes.
there is a stimulation phase, which lasts from 9 to 12 days. We give everyday injections. These are gonadotropins, which are given to increase the number of eggs. Like normally, human body makes one egg every month.
Yeah.
We, the humans, have the least reproductive potential among all the living animals
Mammals,
on this planet.
yeah,
So, whenever we are going to do an in vitro fertilization or IVF, our aim is to produce 8 to 10 eggs inside the female's body, if it is possible,
right.
or whatever number more than one we can have. So that phase is stimulation phase, goes around 9 to 12 days. And in between, you undergoes kind of scanning, ultrasound scanning, transvaginal, and few
Right.
blood tests to look.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gum,
UK Health
fish and
Radio
chips,
and Health
pork and
Triangle
rice,
Magazine.
boots
Each
and
is good
down,
by itself,
gin and
but
tonic,
enjoying both is
Lauren and
always
Hardy,
better.
Marks and Spencer,
Add Health Triangle
Oakmont
Magazine to your
Wise,
monthly health
Mum and
regime.
Dad,
Check it
Now or
out
Never,
at UK
Nelson Bridge
HealthRadio.com.
Folk, Tea for Two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Look at your hormones, are they rising properly to
Yeah.
get a good oocyte from all these follicles?
Yeah, so
Then
you'd want to check that your progesterone was at a relatively good rate, so that's increasing post implantation.
no, first of all, we check estradiol level. If
Yes.
your estradiol is rising properly, that means the follicles which are visible on your scan and TVS, they are going to give good quality of eggs or oocytes.
Great.
Once, yes. Now, once they are mature enough, their sizes are more than 16 to 18 mm, then we check your progesterone and LH along with estradiol so
Okay.
that these follicles are ready to give a mature oocyte, and your endometrial lining is good. It is going not pre-progesterone because of these many injections, and you can have a better chances of your implantation.
Right.
So that is one trigger we give, and 34 to 36 hours of that final injection of trigger, we do your OPU or oocyte pickup. That
right.
is done under mild anesthesia and sedation by the help of transvaginal ultrasound. We put a needle and we just suck out all those follicles which are carrying eggs, and we hand over that to our embryologist who is waiting with those petri dishes and machines, everything, incubator and everything on. So immediately he'll find it out from that fluid, he'll sort it out, and he'll keep it for further maturation for 2 hours, 1 hour as per the requirement. And then he'll take the sperm, semen of the husband or partner. He'll look at the number and quality and decide whether to go for IVF, conventional or ICSI.
Okay.
Once that is done, then that is kept for fertilization. If we are doing conventional IVF, we just put the eggs. And as I told you, 5 million per egg count. We put the semen on that, those eggs, and we keep it for 24 hours, 16 hours, 18 hours, and then we check the fertilization. In cases of ICSI, as many eggs, you require only those many sperms. And processes afterwards, same, once you make them fertilize outside, you keep it to grow into an embryo. And then comes the embryo transfer. Embryo transfer is the final step where we look at your endometrial lining on the day we are taking out your eggs. If it is good enough, then we start injection progesterone or tablet or capsule, vaginal, local, whatever. And day 2, day 3, and day 5 are the transfer days. Age of the embryo when we transfer them to your womb. So day 2 is for very aged couple where number of embryos are less and chances of them growing till day 5 or blastocyst stage are not that good. So we believe that these will grow better when they are inside the womb in natural environment. Best transfer as of now is taken as blastocyst transfer is supposed to be the best transfer, because if an embryo has survived till day 5 or day 6 outside your body, its chances of giving you proper pregnancy or implantation are the best, because blastocyst is the stage when an embryo from your fallopian tube migrates to your womb and gets implanted over there. So,
okay, so I mean, we've got like sort of 3 minutes left. If so much information you've given us, Dr. Seema, and I really want to invite you back again to talk some more about everything. But
I would love to. Definitely,
we'll arrange another date. But tell me in the last kind of 2-3 minutes, right now, if somebody comes to you and sits in front of you and says, Dr. Seema, I've been trying to get pregnant, what should I do first? What would be the first 3 steps for you to say is choose a good doctor, clearly, in a clinic that's supportive and kind and understands and hears you? What would be your other 2 steps to, would it be start to prepare your body? I mean, just those top 3 steps.
Farah, whenever a patient comes to, or couple comes in front of me with their files or whatever, and they are not able to conceive, my first and foremost thing as a doctor is, first of all, I want to see how your body is behaving in a natural way without giving any medication. My first important step is diagnosing what's going wrong. And that can only come when I see them without any medication. So their fertility potential or AMH and AFC, antimullerian hormone and AFC, antral follicular count, these are counts of eggs, I do first. Then I see how this egg is growing in that female's body, how her body endometrium is being prepared naturally to get that to accept that embryo if fertilization takes place, and how is the husband's semen. Apart from that, if there are any kind of lifestyle factors, I try to listen to them. I try to make them more optimistic and positive and make them work on those factors which are not seen by a medical doctor. You have to be a complete healer. You cannot just correct their eggs and sperm and you expect to get pregnancy. You have to correct their whole mindset and everything. And I try to do that.
I'm going to say that's completely exceptional, because a lot of the time in the medical world, people don't see the pain and the emotional turmoil and the mental anxiety and things that people go through when they're going through this process. So actually, you very much sound like a holistic doctor who's a super amazing allopathic doctor at the same time, which is a rare find and an absolute, you know, wonderful thing. Dr. Seema, we've got a minute left, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time, sharing your knowledge. To all our listeners, a healing allopathic doctor who knows everything about IUI, ICSI and IVF. We hope that you'll listen to us again, and we will look forward to welcoming Dr. Seema Pandey again. And Dr. Seema, all the best to you in 2023, and look forward to speaking to you again very, very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Farah, for this opportunity. And I would love to, if by whatever we have been talking, somebody gets benefited, that would be the biggest gift of 2023. And let's hope for the best and see you soon again.
I'll speak to you soon, Dr. Seema. Take care. Bye-bye for now.
Bye. Thank
you. Welcome to Fertility Matters with Golnish and Lucas on the UK Health Radio. Here we discuss all things fertility, from cutting-edge science to medical interventions and traditional holistic medicine, from preconception to pregnancy and beyond. Let's start our fertility journey on the world number one Talk Health Radio.